This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me or if you'd like to make comments on the program or leave me prayer requests, you can do that by writing me by regular mail or by contacting me through the website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. And remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website, and you can read the weekly meditation that I try to send out on Mondays on that website as well. So there's other information there that you might find helpful as well. I'll give you those addresses then at the close of the program. Now, we have been studying Peter. We studied him because he's so important with regard to the faith of those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have looked at many prominent people in the Bible who contributed to the foundation of the truths of the truths that we believe. But it seems to me that one of the most prominent would be Peter. Not only was he a prominent apostle in the New Testament, but he became an author who left us some writings that are extremely valuable to us. So as we begin to look at the epistles, I told you that we would look at the letters or the epistles that Peter wrote this time. We might just remind ourselves that Peter was called to be a fisher of men. He was called from the occupation of fishing to become a fisher of men. And I believe we see that in his epistles. But you'll notice that when he denied the Lord, then after he realized his failure and was restored to the Lord told him to feed his sheep, to tend his lambs. And so Peter moved from being an evangelist to being a shepherd. And frankly, I don't really think you can be a good shepherd unless you have seen a few souls saved and you have a concern for sheep in the same way that parents have concern for their children. But the Lord does look at the believers in the New Testament as a flock. And sometimes that flock is looked at in a negative way. We've seen that in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. That was the Lord's sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And while we know that's true of the Jews and of the Jewish nation, it's true of all of us. So we can apply it to all of us as we think of that verse. But now in the New Testament, we see that Peter is writing as a shepherd, and he's tending the flock of God. And so now believers are looked at as a flock that a shepherd that need a shepherd. And so Peter is one of the what we call under shepherds, helping to take care of the flock of God. And leadership in a local assembly or a local congregation or a local church really should be shepherds. They really need to have seen a few souls saved. They need to be older so they have maturity in the decisions that they make. They shouldn't be novices, even if they're older men and they've newly come to the faith. They really do not belong in the taking the responsibilities of an elder. But an elder is also a teacher, and he's concerned about the flock, and he knows the sheep that are in his flock, and he takes care of them. And sometimes I think we fail to understand that our elders are really pastors in the sense that they pastor a flock of sheep. And so, nevertheless, Peter moved to some degree in that direction. But now, since he has been the one who got a hold of the truth that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon that truth the Lord would build his church, he got a hold of that truth and then was given the keys to the kingdom, that is the spiritual kingdom, and he began to preach the gospel to the Jews in Acts 2, and the church began in Acts 2, and then we looked last time at Acts 10, where he preached the gospel to the Gentiles, sort of had to be kind of dragged into doing that because he didn't really want to preach to Gentiles. In his mind, they were common or unclean, but the Lord said, no, not now. What I have cleansed, that call thou not common or unclean. And he obediently went and preached to a centurion who then got saved and And Paul then, or Peter then, had to justify what he had done to the Jewish nation because they didn't understand this either. It turns out that the Jews some tended to think that even though the Lord was crucified and there was this thing called the church now, that church was to be Jewish. And the Gentiles were to be like foreigners who would be blessed if they would come into the Jewish fold. And the early church, of course, was looked at as a sectarian section of the Jewish faith, but it was something altogether different. And God created out of the Jews and Gentiles, as we noted last time, one new man, one new thing, a body of Christ. And so Peter is, while his epistle is directed to Jews of the dispersion, nevertheless, what he is saying is applicable to each one of us, and he becomes a shepherd of the flock of God. Now, when we study an epistle, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. When we look at the epistles in our New Testament, it's interesting that there's volumes written about these epistles. And I often wonder if one of the authors of the epistles were to come back and read some of our commentaries, if they wouldn't go, "Wow, I didn't know that I said that. Wow, I didn't realize that that was something that was in this epistle that I wrote." I think they might be surprised at how difficult we've made the epistles when we study them. I realize that we need some help in understanding language and customs, and that's where a good education comes in. But when it comes to understanding the epistles, if we understand something of the language and customs, or can use different versions of the Bible to help us with the language, we should be able to understand the basic truth of the epistle. Remember that Peter was, it says in the Old King James, unlearned and ignorant. It just means he was uneducated as far as the Jewish religion was concerned. And so he wrote this epistle as an unlearned and ignorant man, or as an uneducated man. And if we've gone to school like we have in the United States as educated people, we should be able to understand these epistles. We shouldn't have to read the volumes that are written about these epistles. Now, I'm not against reading that. I think what other people get out of an epistle oftentimes is helpful. But I sometimes think we are more interested in trying to figure out what some man believes about the epistle than we are concerned about with what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us from the epistle. And I want you to believe that if you're saved and have the Holy Spirit in you, what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you as you read these epistles are more important than what some man wants to teach you as they expound on the finer points of these epistles. So read the epistles, and if you want to study with me, spend some time reading the first epistle and the epistle and the second epistle, and then ask yourself, oh, what is the basic theme of the epistle? And if you look at the first epistle, you'll find out that the basic theme has to do with the current trials that the Christians are passing through. And so if I were to take a verse and use that verse as a way of understanding the epistle, I would probably take 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so in that day, to be a Christian was to take your life in your hands. There was persecution by the Jews. Paul had been persecuting the Christians. And there was also persecution by the pagans. And so when we look at these epistles, we need to understand, first of all, that they were written to encourage and instruct the people so that those who are saved would know what pleases the Lord. So in that first epistle, Satan is on the attack, just as he was against the Lord when the Lord began his earthly ministry and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we know that at the end of that time, Satan tested him or tempted him and tried to get him to yield to temptations that would have been ungodly or unscriptural. And so in this epistle, this first epistle, he's dealing with the adversary, the devil, but he also expounds on the truth of who the rock is, who the foundation of the church is, because there's many people today that would like to believe that Peter was the rock upon which the Lord was building the church. But Peter was nothing more than a living stone in that church, and the church was built up of living stones, but the Lord was the chief cornerstone. 1 Peter 2, verse 6 says, "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed." And so Peter does not see himself as the rock. He sees the Lord as the rock, as the chief cornerstone, and it's the Lord that he preaches. And so Peter really sets to rest that idea that he was the first pope. He was not the first pope. There's never been a first pope. The Lord is the chief cornerstone, and whenever we put man in charge, we are making the church an organization, when in fact it's a body, it's an organism, a living organism, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. So Peter really deals with this matter of temptations, and he deals with this matter of who is the foundation of everything that we believe in, that's Christ. And then in the second epistle, he deals with last things. And often when we look at the epistles, particularly Paul's, the second epistle deals with last things. And we see that with Peter's epistle as well. He talks about the day of the Lord. And the way in which I would remember perhaps the second epistle would be to remember the verse that says, knowing in 2 Peter 3, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that scoffers shall come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And so he deals with last things. So if you're a Christian, you'll be encouraged by the fact that if you're going through trial, it's not unusual that this is the case for Christians. When we preach that Christians are going to have it made after they're saved, I think we're misleading them, because the minute you get saved, you become a target of Satan. And we need to understand that there are going to be scoffers in the last days, and we probably live in those days today, and we need to make sure that we have been born again. And we'll look at that in this first epistle the next time, because Peter does deal with that issue. We need to be sure that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program. We pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.